A slowdown in the UK's economic recovery. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. The UK economy continued its recovery in August, growing by 2.1%, but that figure was lower than both in June and July. Eating out helped keep the economy ticking along, but with restrictions getting tougher as we approach the colder months, how will economies across Europe cope? Samuel Toombs is chief economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics.
The UK was one of the worst hit economies by COVID-19 in the second quarter this year. And although we've seen only weak month-on-month growth in GDP in August, the level of activity in the third quarter still was substantially higher than it was in Q2. And we're seeing a similar strong rebound in Q3 in other countries emerge. But what we're really starting to see now is that this momentum is now fading. The worry going forward is that we might not see much growth as consumers retreat once again in the face of the second wave of the virus that we're now clearly seeing in the UK and has already taken hold in other European countries as well.
So do you think the UK perhaps is faring in a way that is to be expected relative to its counterparts in Europe then?
I think other countries can look to the UK's recent economic performance and expect a similar performance there. The UK is actually unusual in producing month-on-month GDP data. Most other countries only get a sort of quarterly read on how demand is faring. In August, you know, we still saw GDP around 10% below its pre-COVID level in the UK. I think we're likely to see a similar shortfall in activity in most of those other countries.
And during the month of August, we had a scheme here in the UK called Eat Out to Help Out, where there were discounted meals available at restaurants. And that helped that industry to some extent. Do you think that it's going to now struggle, restaurants, bars, and hospitality and recreation as we go into the winter?
You're right, the Eat Out to Help Out scheme did really make a big difference to activity in that sector of the economy. And it was actually one of the worst affected parts of the economy before the scheme kicked in. And the scheme only lasted for August. And we're already starting to see in more timely data that people are once again avoiding pubs, restaurants and bars, etc. Data produced, for instance, by Open Table, which shows you the number of seated diners at restaurants. And that points to a clear decrease in demand in that sector of the economy in September, particularly in the face of rising COVID-19 infections again.
Samuel Toombs, Chief UK Economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the markets. Those economic figures don't seem to have deterred markets, which in Europe is mostly in positive territory at the moment. Asian markets were mixed overnight, with mainland Chinese shares surging as they returned to trading following a national holiday. We've also had the news today that the London Stock Exchange is selling off its Italian bourse in Milan. China says it's formally joined the International COVID-19 Vaccine Initiative, COVAX. This group aims to distribute doses of the vaccine to 2 billion vulnerable people around the world by the end of next year. It's also trying to dispel the idea of nationalism when it comes to a vaccine. China will be the largest economy to join the group. The BBC's Robin Brandt has the details.
China is one of several nations trying to create and test a safe vaccine. Around one-third of those currently in the final stage of human trials are made by Chinese firms. Now, the country where the pandemic originated has pledged to join a global effort to get 2 billion doses paid for and distributed once it's approved. The COVAX initiative aims to do this by the end of next year. A foreign ministry spokesman said China wants to ensure equitable distribution of vaccines and restated that it will prioritise developing countries after it's inoculated its own population.
Robin Brandt reporting from Shanghai. So one of the sectors hardest hit by the coronavirus pandemic is nightclubs. In many parts of the world, whilst pubs and bars have reopened, nightclubs have stayed firmly shut. The BBC's Ed Butler has been looking into some of the ideas that might get them open again. He starts his report with a DJ and clubber who is missing her regular nights out.
To go clubbing is to kind of leave your worries at the front of the door and then to go in and for the next couple of hours you're enjoying the music and you're meeting new people, like-minded people.
That's the voice of Jams Supernova. She's a DJ and, as you can hear, a passionate club devotee, feeling deprived by COVID-19 closures.
It's been boring, to be honest. I really miss meeting other girls in the toilets. You can make a best friend for the night in the toilet, in that environment, everybody's friends.
Well, some clubs are, believe it or not, trying to find solutions to all this, including social distancing, rapid testing, high-end air filtering systems. Mostly, though, they're just stuck with keeping ravers outside and in smaller numbers. Jam Supernova's been to a couple of these prototype club nights.
We went to Lakota in Bristol and they turned their car park into like a seating area with a stage. We went to a venue in Peckham called Tola and they kind of extended and have a rooftop now.
Berlin is one of Europe's best known club capitals. It derives much of its tourism from that. Lutz Leichenring is the co-founder of Vibe Lab, a consultancy in the city.
The economic effects that the scene has is huge. So nightlife is part of the DNA of the city. And of course, it is very restricted. It is almost not happening indoors. And if this is an affordable test, let's say below 10 euros, then you will be able to test everybody who goes to a venue before they enter.
Well, Lutz Leichenring argues that the grassroots economic impact of a city's club scene does need to be taken seriously, but it looks like COVID-19 may mean it's some time before clubs start punching above their weight again. I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Let's hope they get the music playing soon. In London, I'm Vishal Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.